The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to November 2007.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in a very unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we've got the Big Four with us on the program. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, enjoying the fact that she is not its chair, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
My punishment, though, for stepping down as chair was obviously volunteering for the core task force.
So. Yes, the committee from hell. That's right. But don't worry, dear. It's, you know, you this too, like a kidney stone, shall pass. So it's going to
be
okay.
Just about that painful.
And sitting next to Beth from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, and someone who will be receiving the award to honor an outstanding junior faculty member at the university. Hey, ha! It's Professor Matt Mayo. All right, a round for Matt. He's our man.
You guys are too nice.
So we are very, very happy about that.
Thanks. How's the term going?
Oh, well, it's going.
It's midterms.
It's midterm. They set their exam this morning.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah. I was at break time, I'll share one of the answers. It was most disturbing.
Oh, no.
Now, at the far end of the table, someone who is still a chair and also directs our Black Abolitionist Archives, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hi, Kathy. I'd just like to go on record that I think Ann Coulter needs to be perfected.
Well, that's one of the things she might need. But program...
Well, I want to call her. We can't say on the radio.
I was
going to
say, this program would just eat up all that time, wouldn't it just? And finally, last but certainly never least, from the pre-engineering programs, it's Dan, the DepSep man, Mascio, back in action. I saw all your little signs on the door, DepSep rooms, here in Briggs in the basement, so I'm glad the kids are back.
I do have to say that those are not my signs.
Oh, okay.
That's a different DepSep program, not
okay.
Charge.
Well, I still think it's great to have the kids here on campus.
For the record, I have nothing to do with that program.
And there's
a non-denial.
It's a wonderful new program. It's NSF developing a new sixth grade math program.
Oh, wow.
And Dean Hammond is running.
Okay, but it was so, when I saw the signs on the door, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah. I thought there were your kids in the building, and I love your kids.
They're adapts of kids and parents.
Okay.
So Saturday Windbreaker Day, is that where?
That's tomorrow.
You got your walkie-talkie all powered up, Dan?
No cell phone.
Okay. See, Dan is great directing traffic in that Windbreaker. You got to see him in action. But yes, you do.
Do you have the landing lights?
No, I don't.
I've seen you stare down van drivers, Dan.
So I only step in when I absolutely have to. About Ann Coulter.
Well, here's the show where you can send us questions about Ann Coulter or about science or about anything that you wish. And if you stump the panel, you will win a fabulous prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you still win one of our fabulous prizes, as always. So how can you contact Ask the Prof?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
So we're going to start off with a set of questions that comes to us from Tim Hooker of Belleville, Michigan.
These are new.
Sadly, again,
a newbie, a rookie.
We don't have a score on this. He just sent questions and didn't give us a set.
We were supposed to ask IT to do something about indicating on there.
Yeah. Well, I'll look on the website and see. Yeah,
maybe they'd be willing to put like a box in
to say, "Hey,
you have to get 75%."
Right.
Okay. We'll try that. But at any rate, these are a potpourri of questions.
Ooh, we like those.
Okay.
They smell nice.
So,
mm-hmm.
How many tons of gold are used each year in the United States to make wedding rings? So I guess it would be male and female wedding rings.
It's in the tons.
I would say about a few ounces, right? So
if that, it wouldn't be a troy.
So let's say eight times two. Let's just do it for a couple.
Well, let's solve this mathematically.
I know. How many people do you think get married?
Get married in a given year? Probably 30 million.
30 million marriages?
Some of that's repeat business.
I was going to say, though.
Let's go 20 million.
Let's go 20 million times eight.
So that's 40 million rings.
Okay, so 40 million rings each at 8 ounces.
20 million pounds.
Okay, so how many tons is that? 2,000 pounds per ton.
Divide by 2000. So.
Come on, baby.
Wait, were we at 20,000 divided by 2,000? Oh, that's 40.
We had 20 million divided
40
by
40 tons.
Yeah, 20 million. 40, no.
You know, it was the millions, right?
Yeah, you had it. I think you had a million.
We're all trying to keep track.
Oh, no, I was going to say. Wait. So that's 40,000 tons.
That's way high.
Oh, right.
400.
Was I better at 40?
It's 17 tons.
Okay.
Oh,
but that's still.
And what do you get?
But yeah, boy, really, another day older and hacked at Tiffany and Company.
Maybe we overestimated the weight of the rings.
Well, I don't think that was the number. The number of people who got married.
Troy ounces.
I was going to say, right, there's a different measurement, isn't there, for gold?
Mine is, no, yeah. 8 ounces, and this is a pretty standard one.
And then you got your cubic zirconium.
Yeah, and then you got your ones from the pawn shop. There you go. Well, staying on the married topic, being unmarried can shorten a man's life by how many years?
I'll go 7.
That's a little low, actually.
It was just in the
10 on the nose, Roy. That.
And just so we can get the other side of this question, what happens to women's health when they're not engaged in a relationship with a man?
It goes up, and we all
get much better.
I couldn't say that. I don't know.
We're like siphoning off their lives.
Well, there are feminist scholars who suggest it's a parasitic relationship.
Now, he doesn't give the source for that. I'd be interested to know the source of that. I really would, just to, you know, who would have measured that. Regardless of its denomination, what is the cost to make every United States bill that is denomination of money?
It's under a dollar, isn't it?
It surely is.
Oh, it's got to be like 3 cents or
you
something.
You are so close.
2 cents. 4 cents.
4 cents.
Wow.
So,
Now there's color, so, you know, it's 1 cent more.
Well, maybe that's it, yeah. And I know they're putting all those things, watermarks and things, so people can't.
Are they made in counterfeit?
Not yet.
From lead. Leftover lead.
But if they were, the red paint would have lead in it. Yeah, exactly. Actually,
we outsource everything else. Why not?
Having a boss who's a numismatist, you come across things like this all the time. You know, Mark Benvenuto, he's a numismatist, and he says that there's a plan now at the Treasury. They're going to have to overhaul the bills probably every 5 years, starting about 10 years from now, because that's the best they can do.
As long as FDR stays on the dime, that's all that bothers me.
Oh, my goodness.
No Reagan dimes.
Through the roof. Come
people, every I mean, 5 you just, years?
Yeah, it's going to take that much change to keep the counterfeiters at bay.
Why don't they just eliminate money and we can use credit cards?
How about we start with the penny, man? I'm one of those people. Okay, what the heck, you know?
Well,
man?
I really wish that we would go more to coin. Like, I love the loonie and I love the two-way. Yep. I got to admit that in Canada.
They
it's
can,
just so
they
handy.
Can stick to coins for the small amounts, and then for big amounts, just
use a debit card system.
Yeah, money is easily recyclable. The linen paper really isn't, so on.
Yeah, it's something in that sense. When icebergs melt, why does it make a fizzing sound?
Because they're sad.
Well, the temperature, if they're melting into an ocean, couldn't the temperature of the ocean be warmer than the temperature of the solidified?
Is there air trapped in the
That's
ice?
It. It's compressed air bubbles. So that's
why
do
I even try
and speaking of stuff, and speaking of melting ice, let's all tip our hat to Al Gore.
Yes, we want to know about Bucky and that whole committee, wasn't
if he ran
it?
For president, he could possibly win.
I don't think he's
going
to run.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's smart. He's too smart.
One of the things I'd missed out on, apparently his show Current TV also got an Emmy. So this year he's got
an
Oscar, an Emmy, and a Nobel Peace Prize.
I was going to say, if he gets a tummy, honey, that's it. Put it on there.
Global warming.
What if he wins the People's Choice Award?
Oh, no.
The musical.
There we go. Okay. DC-10, which is an airplane name, stands for what? What does the DC stand for?
District of Columbia.
District of Columbia.
Don't crash.
We hope. We really hope. No, it's not actually.
And it's not.
The D is for the manufacturer.
Douglas,
yes.
Something.
Conrad?
No, the C word is something that we get bothered by when we watch television programs.
Commercial.
Yeah, Douglas commercial. Wow. Which, I have to admit, I knew the D was for Douglas. I didn't know that. Amish people do not believe in the use of this type of spray.
Aerosol.
Yeah, that they do not believe in the use of any type of aerosol.
Is like the ozone thicker over Amish farms?
Or? I don't know. yeah, I know on my drive back from the Thumb on Tuesday that I got behind an Amish caravan in Sanilac County. And it was a very, it's a two-lane highway, M53, and there were four buggies in front of me, and I just could not get around them. And it was nice to watch the horses out, truly. But there was a couple semis behind me that were not really patient, and they kept hitting the horn. And those poor horses were, I mean, come on. Let the buggy people be the buggy people, okay? You know?
And they're especially buggy because they can't spray for bugs.
Well, that's right. There you go. But, I mean, I just thought that seems a little, I just thought that was a little much.
Really
okay.
Aerosol spray.
Fires that occur on land generally move faster in this direction.
West.
No, this is more like a kind of directional.
Oh.
Or, yeah. So which direction do they move? Yes, they move faster uphill than downhill.
Oh, uphill.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
Weird.
Well, you know.
Heat rises. So
would that be it? Yeah. Would that be the reason why? Yeah.
Well, the flames go up, not down, so it would tend to ignite what's above it than what's below it.
Okay. It's a great American tradition that on New Year's Eve that a ball is lowered in Times Square. When did this tradition start?
It's fairly recent, isn't it?
150 years ago when Dick Clark was born.
No, 1950s sometime.
No,
50s.
Earlier than that.
Really?
Well, actually a little later than that. But
turn of the century?
Yeah, 1907.
Weird.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What was the original ball that was made of? What was it made of?
String.
Well, made it easy to drop.
Light bulbs?
Yes, it was a wooden ball that had 100 light bulbs attached to it. So
cool.
I know. I'm just
now
trying to imagine.
Now it's made of crystal. It's Waterford now?
Right.
Fortunately,
isn't it? Yeah.
They weren't plugged in. They were just kind of glued to it. It wasn't actually lead.
Actually, there's a different, if I understand this correctly, there's a different ball every year. Because
yes.
A family member went to Ireland last year, mm-hmm. and they said the most recent ball was at the Waterford factory.
Yes, at the Waterford factory.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Waterford likes to put those little things out on display in that way. In 1958, the Crayola Crayon Company changed its color from Prussian blue to midnight blue. Why?
Cold War.
There was no
more Prussia. That's an interesting answer, though.
When did they do it?
In 1958.
Because Americans no longer could identify Prussia on
you
a map.
You got it. Roy, you hit it right on the head. That kids request by teachers, especially elementary and middle school teachers, that children did not know what Prussia was. Mm. They had no idea what Prussia was.
Wow.
And so I guess they're referring to the Prussian blue, the field gray that they must have wore. I would imagine that would be it. I think. Well, while we think about Crayola, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Did he give you a discount or a freebie?
No, but he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
That. Our next set of questions comes from Catherine. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
I don't know. From Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJK changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
Even from the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, so no.
This is our word.
Right.
Yeah,
since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
Oh, no. We'll dig
dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
I just wanted a chance to star in your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
you
chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you
How
on the
nice
show.
Nice that somebody actually cares about us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from November 2007. Matt Mayo and the current ATP panel will return next week with more brand new episodes for 2019. And we'd love to include your questions, so please send them, along with the correct answers, to atp@udmercy.edu. Now let's get back to this classic show from November 2007.
And we're back with questions from Tim Hooper of Belleville, Michigan. And again, they're kind of all over the place, but they're kind of interesting questions so far. I like this Sunputa too, a little bit of everything. In the United States, you have zip codes. In Canada, you have postal codes. Mm-hmm. What year were they introduced in Canada?
Canada.
Yeah.
Is it post zip code?
It's a postal code, which, so they do it letter, number, letter, number, letter, number. Britain's that's how they do way. It. Yeah.
1957.
That's early. I'm a little surprised. This is kind
I
of like.
I was going to go over.
1966.
Sure. That's a little early, too.
Wow.
It's the year I was born, so it just.
Oh, well,
like
that's a nice year. By the thrill of it all, by the luck of the postie, I guess, you know. Canada Post is not good. It's really not. You can walk a letter to Toronto before it gets there by post.
Well, so 1970s?
1971, actually.
Oh, wow.
Well, do you know what city in the United States where they introduced the zip code where it was first done?
New York?
No. Far. Distinctive Cocoa.
Waukegan?
No. I mean, where he went to grad school.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yes. Oh. If you've ever driven in Pittsburgh, because of the mountains and and they're very windy, strange streets and numbers change and all that, so they first marketed and attempted to pilot the zip code in Pittsburgh.
Before Barb and I got married, we were going to a wedding in Pittsburgh, and it's like, you know how it is. You know, occasionally you get an exit, and if you miss that exit,
forever. Got it. Thank you. Yeah.
And, you know, she said, turn here. And I'm down the exit. And then it's like another 15 minutes to find our way back onto the interstate.
Oh, yeah. You do not want to get lost in Pittsburgh. Great city. But, I mean, especially with the three rivers coming in the way it does. I mean, with all the different bridges, that was the reason for that.
Boy, Seattle could have been the source of, would have been a great source for zip codes, too, given the way that, I mean, driving in Seattle now is just a nightmare.
Ooh. That's right. You were there this summer.
And the streets are, like, totally weird and curved and aren't labeled and...
Well, okay, speaking of New York, approximately how many human beings are bitten by other human beings per year?
300,000.
Oh, that's...
No.
I want to know how they get this number.
Maybe 3,000?
That's a little high.
Does that include biting by medical personnel?
Well, then we're not sure. It doesn't seem to quite say.
1,956.
No, it's 1,600. Okay. 1,600 people,
well,
yeah.
Well, given the number of Alzheimer's patients who've bitten me, well, I mean, I was willing to, you know, ramp that number up a little bit.
Okay. This happened in your current job?
In a past life.
Yeah. What is the most popular boat name in the United States? This is maybe for private owners of boats.
The Prince Charming.
The Prince Charming, where Jim Tubbs will be this weekend in Baltimore.
Is it the name of a person?
It's actually sort of an American kind of patriotic sounding.
Apple pie or something like that.
I'm spending my children's money or my children's
inheritance. My children's inheritance. You see those quite a bit.
The old glory,
let me see. I think Gerald Ford had a dog by this name. If I remember correctly. That wasn't much of a clue, was it, Kath? Duh.
Liberty?
Yes, Liberty.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I thought it was patriotic sounding. Mm-hmm. In Italy, Santa Claus is known by what name? This is a great name.
Well, what's the Italian word for?
I was about to say, isn't it, well.
Well, no, what's Merry Christmas?
Buon Natale.
Natale. Okay, so Natale is part of it, and Santa's kind of like a grandpa figure. So what can you call your grandpa in Italy?
Nonno, actually.
Well, nonno, yeah, but there's a Babbo. So Babbo Natale.
Oh, Babbo Natale.
And isn't that kind of a cool name? In Ireland, I know they still refer to him as St. Nicholas, and if you go to the shop or the stores, the department stores, to sit on Santa's lap, he is dressed as St. Nicholas with the mitre and the staff as the bishop.
Cool.
Yeah, so, because I remember having my picture taken when I did my junior year in Ireland and sent it to my parents. And I was surrounded by like 5-year-old kids. And I was like, I am waiting to sit on Santa's lap. And he didn't look at all like American Santa. In China, September 20th is a civil holiday that is with a special theme. It's a healthcare related theme. Name that day.
Like comb your hair day or?
Well, yes, like that.
I knew it was something like this.
It is. It totally is.
Shower day?
No.
Contraceptive day?
Groom one's cuticles day.
It's love your teeth day.
Oh, okay. That's important.
I'll go back to another Irish example of the 70s that a friend cut out the postmark from a letter that was sent from Cork and said, what does this mean? And the postmark had Cork egg, the Irish name for Cork, and it said, teach your children to brush their teeth. That's what it said on it. And this American friend was just like, what is this?
Public service announcement.
So love your teeth day is September 20th, so I think we all miss that.
You know, we make fun of this, or at least, you know, making light fun of it, but mm-hmm. every time I go, you know, online, I find out that it's a different kind of month in America. Every month is something now. It's frozen
yes.
food month. I'm
yeah.
like, you got to be kidding me.
No.
There's
no.
a whole month it for frozen
yes,
food. No,
it was,
it's
no,
not
they,
right now. I think it's March.
The ones that were recalled are the ones that are not recalled.
Oh, no.
It seems like
oh,
whatever.
Like the beef thing, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but there is. There's like every month has some new kind of connotation.
Because this is Latin American
History
Month, yeah. and it's Awareness of Disabilities Month.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's Fire Prevention
Month.
Anyway.
I know.
And the ad that John Leguizamo was doing on Spike for Latin American Heritage Month is so unbelievably sexist.
Hmm. Oh, is it? I haven't seen it yet.
And
I really like
him. And it's stereotype. I mean, he's talking about Latina women and how they're so hot and they're curvy and they come in all these different colors. They're cafe and mocha
oh
and caramel. So, okay, women are coffee. I get it.
Maybe they should show a clip of him and tooing food.
I was going to say, really, Julie Newmar. I mean,
why'd you just pick that one?
I mean,
pretty much
oh.
all of his movies.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Because that one, he's dressed as a woman?
Yeah. Right. Yes, it would be
but,
perfectly
wow.
appropriate. And he's a decent actor. So, I
liked his one-man comic show, Freak, that he did off-Broadway.
Right.
I thought that was really
so
funny.
So when I saw
but...
I'm like, of course, it's Spike. It's
well,
Spike Channel to begin with, so, you know,
okay, yeah,
what are you going to do? But
there you go. Well, speaking of other accidents, in November 1999, two young women were killed by a lightning bolt. What attracted or what was the electrical conductor that caused this?
A golf club.
No.
Their tongue stud?
No.
That's a good one.
No, this is an item of clothing that women wear. Speaking of women.
An underwire
bra.
That's
right. It's the underwire bra, yeah. Okay. So that it acted as a conductor for the electricity, and it left a burn mark on them. They survived, which is, that's good. I mean.
When my mother was much younger, and we were out, you know, doing chores on the farm, and she had the old side zipper
oh,
pants.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she accidentally
yeah.
sidled up to an electric fence.
Oh, your poor mom.
An ugly mark.
I was going to say, I bet she didn't do that. What's the most common excuse given to police officers in the United States to get out of paying a ticket?
I didn't realize I was speeding. Not that
I'm
makes
late.
Any difference.
That's not listed, although I've tried those.
My wife is pregnant. I was on my way to the hospital.
That's a good one, too.
I'm late for work.
Yeah.
To get out of, like, tickets in general?
To paying a ticket. He just leaves it in a general sense, which is...
I didn't know the speed limit.
That they missed the sign or misread the
sign.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually parked on a two-way street that allows no parking at any part of it. I'd never been to that side of Ferndale before, and the guy whose house I was visiting is like, you probably don't want to park there. And the no parking sign was way on the other side of the street and then, like, half a mile down. I'm like, how am I supposed to know this?
Yeah.
He goes, the traffic...
They're mean.
Oh, Ferndale. Really?
They're very mean in Ferndale.
I got two parking tickets in the same week.
In Ferndale?
Yeah, and I put money in the register, too.
In the meter?
Yeah.
Ooh. Was it anywhere? I mean, was it on 9 Mile? Was it on like
a
busy street?
No, parking lots, but they're like little...
Parking Nazis.
Yeah, parking Nazis.
That's what you call them. In Russia, when you give flowers, in odd numbers... for romantic events, but even numbers are only given for this event.
Death.
Yeah, at funerals. So that must be a lucky
or
unlucky.
Your number is up.
Is that it? I mean, I wonder where that superstition comes from
That's
in that
really
way.
That's really peculiar.
More in vitro babies are born in this country than any other in the world. Can you name that country?
England.
No, which is was the home of the baby, Louise,
Australia.
Wasn't it? It is Australia.
Yeah, it has to be a place with good health care.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's expensive,
it's
that
not
procedure.
America.
$10,000
yeah.
a shot, at least.
At least. Yep. What country has the most post offices in the world? Most post offices in the world.
Can't be Canada.
You can't find a post office in Canada in most places.
I guess he's just counting them, and it's not per capita. Then,
I guess
huh?
it's not per capita, just as the number of them.
France? Luxembourg?
No.
Is it some...
I was
little,
say
it's
Vatican.
Not in Europe.
Monaco?
Oh,
no.
China?
No, you think China, but think of another heavily
Japan.
Populated country.
India.
Yes, India.
Oh, okay.
I was
going to
say
sense.
India.
Well, just think, what was it, the Penny Black? Wasn't that the postal, famous postal stamp of the British Empire?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, pip, pip. Ooh. We'll enslave you, but we'll make sure you get mail delivery twice a day.
Well, the ways of England are the ways of the world.
There we go. The oldest known goldfish lived for how many years of age? And this is, like, unbelievable.
Hundreds.
No, not under 100,
okay,
but still,
okay.
Like, I just didn't think they had that kind of lifespan.
83. 20.
That's a little high.
50.
51. I'll give it to you.
Weird.
How,
probably big.
That's what I'm wondering. It's like one of those
mine
big
suckers.
Mine never
seemed to live for longer than like a week.
Thank you. I was going to say, my poor father had so many funerals for the goldfish in our household.
I don't think these are the little goldfish that you put
be.
In the bowl. I think they're the big koi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because,
talking about something like that, I'm going to guess.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, it would have to because... The drugstore, dime
the
store
ones you got in the bag with
yes,
the water.
Yes, thank you.
They die in under a year.
Yeah. Einstein's parents were very worried that he might be slow or mentally retarded.
Mm-hmm.
What clue or were the parents looking at? What skill did Einstein lack,
He
I
was bad
say?
At arithmetic.
Not only that, but there was...
Dyslexic?
No.
He couldn't write or something?
There was something else he couldn't do fluently.
Speak?
That's right. Until he was over 9 years of age, he not seem to speak in a complete sentence. So his parents were terribly concerned.
College students are like that.
Whatever do you mean, Dan?
I guess coming up with quantum theory sort of makes up for that.
Oh, I was going to say, but gosh, you know, it was an awful thing to try to like peg or pigeonhole children or young people. You know, he's the perfect living example of that.
So when you meet people like that, you know, do you think that they're slow idiots or that they're real geniuses? And you kind of have to...
How could we ever know the answer to that question?
Yeah. So you just got to take people as they are and not judge them based on anything else, or try not to at any rate. In 1983, a Japanese artist made a copy of this famous portrait completely out of toast.
Mona Lisa.
It is. Yes. Did you know that?
No. But when you said famous portrait, it's the first one that comes to your mind.
And then did
ate
he
it?
Eat it?
You know, it doesn't say, but it would be kind of interesting to see if, like, you know, he lacquered it or something.
Why would you make the Mona Lisa out of toast?
Okay, now, wait a minute. Where's the place? There's a state fair where they have the corn palace that they literally make it. I'm trying to think of is it Iowa?
Iowa.
Or what state is
Nebraska.
It? Nebraska.
Nebraska,
that's it. That it's, I mean, it's this
palace.
Whole building.
They coat with corn cobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
and there's
cool.
different colors. I mean, that they do design work.
Yep.
It's killer looking.
It's like the composite photographs that...
And afterward, they set on fire and the whole thing pops.
No, they actually take it down. And build a new mural every year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, let me thank our panel. Professor Maggio.
Oh, thank you.
Professor Finkenbein.
Thank you.
Professor Mayo.
Thank
Professor
you.
Professor Oljar.
Thank you.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Communication Studies Department Studios on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, directed, and saved every week by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Red Wings!
Matt Mayo and the current panel of Ask the Professor are back next week with more brand new episodes, so please plan to join us.